CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. It is 11 minutes after 7. It's a little Post Malone and Circles for you on a Friday. You made it to Friday. Congratulations. Well bloody done. You've survived the first proper work week of 2021. Wow, what a year this is going to be. If it started off with the craziness we've seen this week, we're in for just an incredible year. And by the way, Bitcoin at 38,000. For those people like me who thought it was going to drop at some point, not yet. $38,282 right now. I mean, that's just insane. I don't even know how to figure that out. I mean, it's incredible. So if you've got Bitcoin, I suppose, and you've hung on to it to today, and let's say you bought at the beginning of last year, you're happy as a pig in crap right now. So good. So that's good. And Ethereum is also good, but it did drop 12% yesterday. So we'll have to see what happens. It's just such a weird world to be living in right now. I suppose everybody always says that no matter what time they're in. But if you are watching things like Bitcoin and you're seeing the ongoing political saga in America and, you know, coronavirus, it's all just insane. It's crazy. What a time to be alive. Good, bad, and ugly. Sia, let's play Kill, Marry, and Screw. Your options, are you ready?
Okay.
This is Tapelo's F, Marry, Kill. So you've got to choose one to marry, one to kill.
Sorry,
one to
marry. Just ran.
Why did you run?
Catch my breath.
Where were you running from? Did you go to the loo?
I thought I could make tea in time in the break. So I actually heard the song in from the kitchen. I'm like,
All right, so
I thought, I could play it off and be calm.
Did you get your tea or not?
Yes.
You didn't even get your tea?
I have the tea. It's not even stirred. Okay. My rooibos tea bag is not out. It's all sorted out. Okay.
I was going to say, you can go and get it now if you want to. But so Tapelo wants you to do F, Marry, Kill. Here are your options, all right? Little Nas. Little Nas X.
Okay.
Who's Little Nas X? Yes. Am I being stupid?
He is a musician, a rapper.
Okay. Henry Van Breda, who we know you have a thing for, and La Cizwe. Who do you F, Marry, Kill? Go on. You got to choose.
I marry Henry. I'm not even joking. I'm not even
saying that. He's a killer. He killed his family with an axe. And you want to marry the guy?
I'd understand him.
Oh, my God.
And he's kind of cute.
You are.
Okay, no, just. No. Okay,
you are messed up. You are messed up if you would marry that guy.
No, because I don't know anything about Lil Nas X and La Cizo, I know socially, so that's...
Okay.
Never mind.
Well, you can't now, if you know La Cizo and you can't say kill now, and you also can't say F.
Yeah, I wouldn't kill him. He's a nice dude.
All right.
And I wouldn't marry him. Yeah, I'd marry Henry, F, La Cizo, and kill Lil Nas X.
Okay, wow. There's an answer nobody expected this morning. There's also a game that no one expected to be playing on a Friday morning. All right. Your messages. Tell us what's going on. By the way, we were talking about Elon Musk becoming the richest man in the world. I saw a tweet where they said Elon Musk's now the richest person in the world, $190 billion. And he replied by going, how strange. That's all he said.
What?
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I mean, it must feel very strange to be the richest man in the world. And then somebody pinned a tweet from all the way back in 2018, where he said, about half my money is intended to help problems on Earth and to help establish a self-sustaining city on Mars to ensure the continuation of life of all species in case we get hit by a meteor like the dinosaurs, or World War III happens and we destroy ourselves. So, you know, this is something I like about Elon Musk. And it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine who worships him. She thinks he's the best human being that's ever lived. And I don't disagree with her.
Weird.
I don't know the guy personally, and I kind of, who doesn't wish that they knew Elon Musk personally? And he is South African, so there probably are a few people in this country who do know the family. But she's obsessed with him, and she said what she really likes about him is that he's always thinking about tomorrow. He doesn't just think about today. And I think that's such a valid point. Like, if you want to be the richest people in the, if you want to be among the richest people in the world, you should be thinking not about yourself, but about the long term. And you should be thinking about the big issues, because that's where you'll make your money. If your goal is to make money, you'll never be rich. If your goal is to solve problems and to help people and to create solutions to the biggest issues in the world, undoubtedly along the way, you'll make lots and lots of money.
Well, listen to me spewing business advice, like I have a JSE listed company, but
go on.
The truth is, however grand or amazing your business idea is to you, that's all good and well, but that doesn't change anything unless you're actually providing a solution to other people.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are buying into. They aren't buying into how great your brand is and your corporate logo and your company culture.
Exactly. You can dress it up any way you like. People don't care about that anymore. And all of that stuff has actually become less meaningful than ever, because we've seen how many brands are actually empty. And you ask a lot of people who run these companies, what are your values? What's your mission? And they don't know. A lot of people in management,
up and work.
Yeah, they don't know this stuff. You don't, what's your purpose? And they're like, well, I go to work. You're like, no, what is the problem that you're solving? What is the service you provide to people? What do your products do to enhance people's lives? And they're like, I don't know. You know, they're not thinking about it. So it's pretty crazy. I mean, listen, there's no surefire way to figure all this stuff out, but people like Elon Musk who put purpose at the forefront of what they do, those people are ahead of the curve. So I don't think for a second that he doesn't deserve to be the richest man in the world. Good for him. Good for him.
Speaking about money, I got randomly sucked into this Teddy Mafia story yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Because you live in Durban and it happened near you.
His funeral was the definition of just money and tacky.
Mm.
So he had, now it's been released, it's a 300,000 rand coffin that was diamond encrusted.
Oh, you must be kidding.
His 300,000 rand.
But what?
His family said that was one of his wishes.
But,
and
hold
you know,
on a second. You're going to be buried in that thing. Like Tutankhamun's tomb was just waiting to be robbed, you know? Like if you get buried in a diamond encrusted coffin, it's not going to be long before someone in the dead of night comes to your grave, digs you up, and takes your coffin or steals the diamonds off your coffin. What a stupid idea.
And this is South Africa. You know, that isn't far-fetched.
Mm-hmm. So 300,000 rand coffin, okay.
Yeah, the casket was driven around in this Range Rover. It's originally a Range Rover, but it was all souped up and changed. So essentially, it was a Range Rover hearse.
I've got to see
that
this.
Was driving the casket around.
What's the guy's name again? Teddy. What's it? Teddy Mafia.
Well, Teddy Mafia is his AKA. Real name is.
It just came up now. It's amazing. So I looked it up, and it came up. Teddy Mafia funeral came up as like this. It's the first thing that comes up. Wow, this is so bad.
Ridiculous.
This is so bad.
I was spotting a lot of videos that of just people who was parked on the side of the road and filming this motorcade driving by because there was a whole escort. There were police, there was, you know, just limousines as well driving the family around. It was a huge spectacle.
What a gross display. And the people carrying the coffin just, I'm surprised they didn't tip out of the coffin because they're carrying it so badly. Like they have big guys at the back and small guys in the front, and it's being handled at such a complex angle that I'm surprised that the coffin even made it to the grave.
It's just unnecessary.
So bizarre. Hey, but listen, this is what a lot of people, this is what some people spend more money and think about and save more money for their funeral than they do for their retirement. In other words, they'll live on like breadcrumbs, but they'll pay for a gold coffin. And you're like, why would you put me in a pine box, you know? Put me in the cheapest cardboard if you need to. And just because you, it's going into the ground anyway. Why would you waste money on a coffin? It's the dumbest thing in the world.
You know, but that's one of the things my dad has been observing in the past couple of months. Regardless, he's had to conduct a lot of funeral services, sure, and even just some makeshift small ceremonies.
Yeah.
And he says people have been saving so much money because everything is so quick and so brief. And, you know, even when, I don't know what the regulation number stands at right now, but having to go no more than 50, you start thinking, who really actually needs to be there? And if it's some old parent, then if it's just the siblings and their kids, you call it a day. So that's like 12 people and you're done.
Right.
We don't have to be spending so much money.
Well, if this year, maybe, you know, if 2020 teaches us anything with the coronavirus and those rules around funerals and things, maybe it is that we spend less money on funerals. It wouldn't be a bad thing for people to have had to have smaller funerals and spent less, because then they've got more money for the people who are alive. You know, the dead don't give a damn. They don't. They're not here to tell you whether they liked their funeral or not. They're also not here to say that one's allowed to come and that one isn't. What was that aunt who pitched up at the Rachadis who pitch up at the funeral and start saying terrible things about you know, your wife and your ex wife.
You avoid all of that drama too.
You just, yeah, you don't have to get into it, but you can just say I'm not doing all that stuff. Also, it always strikes me as strange that people will spend so much money on a funeral and they don't even get to enjoy it. They're dead. You know, it's crazy.
Well. Talking about funerals, another trend that's unfortunately continuing this year, and we're already seeing reports of it, is our bodies still being mixed up because of, and especially, ooh, this is another story coming out from the Eastern Cape. I don't know what's happening in that province, but this is still a thing. Most recently, it's two families who've mixed the bodies up of their family members who've passed away. But this time, the Eastern Cape authorities are stepping away from this. They're saying, actually, we are not to be blamed for this, but it is rather the onus is on the family member in the one particular family who came and just didn't look carefully, so they say, at identifying the corpse of their family member. So they're like, yeah, that's her. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, it was identified later that actually they buried the wrong body.
Oh my God, imagine that. Imagine
a mix-up.
Yeah, you go to the trouble and you have a big funeral and you buy some expensive coffin and everybody's wailing and carrying on, and then you've buried the wrong body. Ay, ay, ay.
You've buried them in a diamond-encrusted something.
It's madness. So we're going to speak to Gadget Girl in a short while because she has loads of info for us on what's the trend, what the most important things are that we need to look out for in 2021, you know, ahead of the new year. And then I've got this mail from Bev. She says this is nothing political, but something I've come upon recently. I live through the language of my 29-year-old daughter, i.e. FOMO, and terms like ghosting. So Bev wants to talk about ghosting. I understood it as a form of stalking someone, but in fact, it's the total opposite. It doesn't sit well with me. So Bev, she says she's in the 60-plus group in terms of age. So she says, I find it particularly shallow that a male or female will communicate or meet up with someone for a couple of meetings and then pull a disappearing act in a puff of smoke without a reasonable explanation. That's what ghosting is, right, Sia?
Yeah.
To me, it lacks good morals, decency, and it is a cowardly act, not being able to communicate one's true feelings face to face. It's okay if you don't connect, just communicate that. My generation was told face-to-face, painful as it was, and you just moved on. I'm questioning the integrity of people who do this. Is there no guilt or conscience for behaving like a child? I wonder how it feels sitting in this age group and being ghosted or doing ghosting. So that's a really good point that Bev raises.
It is a shitty trait once you think about it, because back in the good old days of meeting face to face, I've had a couple of friends who've been ghosted either on their way to a date or once they've arrived.
Shocking. Like, you just don't do
and
that.
And so now it's messaging like, hey, were you seated? Because I'm inside now. And you never hear from the person again.
Wow, that's bad. I would be furious if I got in my car and actually went somewhere to meet someone. And then on the way, they just went dead quiet and I didn't hear from them again. It's also, it's so weak, you know. This is pure weakness. I'm with Bev on the fact that at least have the courage to say to someone, I don't want to see you anymore, or I don't want to talk to you anymore, or you're not somebody I'm interested in communicating with. Have the courage to do that. Just to ghost someone is so weak.
It's because what we currently have makes it so easier for people to do so, though. It's just like, yeah, I'm behind a keyboard. It makes, so why do I really have to say anything?
That's really
but by bad. The way, I just have to admit,
mm-hmm.
I'm still on the fence as to whether this is a good thing or not.
What?
But, you know, we do things on the show here. And I thought, you know, this one thing for the week, Gareth, as you had suggested, just mm-hmm. to reach out to someone.
I was going to ask if anybody did that, because we started this new idea on Tuesday, which we're going to carry on. And every Tuesday, there's going to be one thing you can do to improve your life or to change things and hopefully to make things better. And this week, it was to reconnect and to patch up family feuds, you know, to talk to someone, a relative that you haven't spoken to for a long time, and patch things up. And you're smiling, so I'm assuming you've done this and it didn't go well.
Well, I'm still on the fence because there was no one in my family that I had to reconnect with. So I thought, let me just apologize to an ex.
Ooh.
Let me do that.
And?
We said we'll see each other once things calm down again. Just
okay.
We'll reconnect and let's have this conversation in person. And now he's doing super well. So I think this could actually be good.
Okay. Well, you see, like, no harm done. Okay, good.
He went to the UK and he did his thesis in law.
Wow.
And now he's back. I'm thinking, oh, this is great.
Good for you.
Go and, yes, you can work for both of us, Mr. Man. So this is great.
Sia, for anybody who doesn't know, all Sia wants is to be a kept man. He just wants to sit at home and have someone else pay for everything. That would be Sia's perfect life.
I don't know what he's thesising with the lawring, but sounds impressive, so good enough for me.
Well, I'm happy to welcome to the show, and I haven't seen her in a while, and we were going to speak to her before we went to the Christmas break, but there was some kind of issue with her internet or our internet, and ironically, we never got around to it. But she is the Gadget Girl. Her name is Claire Petromathis, and she's with us this morning. How are you, Claire?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. It's nice to actually see you.
I know. And, right. And Happy New Year and all that stuff. Has it started off well?
Just quickly, on the point of a house husband, my husband would be very happy being a house husband as well. So yes,
oh, really?
You're not the only one. He's 45, he was ready to give up at 21. He was ready to marry Rich at that age. Unfortunately, he's stuck with me. So.
Oh, well, I mean, you might end up being very rich.
Yeah, no. Well, here's hoping, you know.
Right.
Damn right. So listen, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, and it's actually better that we're speaking now than if we'd spoken at the end of last year, because we would have been looking backwards rather than forwards. And there's so much to discuss technology-wise. So we're going into this new year, and there's going to be a lot that changes, and there's going to be a lot that improves, and we're going to look at some of the trends. But a lot of people were asking this morning already what you think, or what we think, of the new WhatsApp terms and conditions, because a lot of people were talking about those. So obviously those are going to change, and it's got privacy implications. Have you been looking into that? You must have been paying attention to that in the last few days.
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at it a little bit, and you know, the thing is, everybody's so worried about it, but most people have a Facebook account. And
correct.
As we discussed before, we're all sharing that information anyway. So, I mean, the more I think about it, the less I want to have something to do with Facebook, because I've never been, the fact of the matter is, I've always felt like, yeah, take my content and advertise the right products to me, because I don't have kids, so I don't want adverts on jumping castles and things,
right,
you know,
exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So there is a benefit to it, but then I also think, you know, with what's happened with Facebook before and what they've been accused of and, do you really want your information shared that little bit further? And you have no control over what's being you know, say what's being shared. And the other thing is how much of your, I mean, they're adamant that conversations aren't being shared, but, you know, things like how many times do you speak to your mom, or how many times you speak to this person? It's that kind of information that they want.
Okay.
But knowing Facebook, how far are they going to push those boundaries? Because you know, maybe they will start sharing the actual conversation. I mean, at the moment, everything's encrypted, but you don't know that you might, you know, use a, I don't know, some sort of anti-Semitic term or something like that, and then they've got you involved with that kind of thing. Well, even if you're making a joke, you know.
I hope not, because, you know, I'm so big on sharing anti-Semitism with my mother that's obviously a big issue.
I sort of get it though, Gary, because I think, thank you, Claire, you've sort of encapsulated what my concern is. I don't care whether or not you see the amounts that I have in the bank, or, you know, you have access to where I went and you're tracking me physically. I don't care much about that. For me, it's like kitchen table talk. Now I'm even scared of making a joke to my friend in private messages.
Yeah.
Because that even we understand that it's a joke, but then one day, what if they just publish all of those things, and we know how things are? Yeah. You know, no one is righteous 100% and pure and whatnot. So what are we going to do now?
And, you know, some of us have a very, I suppose it's our coping mechanism, some of us have a very dark sense of humor. Mm. So we'll tell inappropriate jokes, or we'll share inappropriate things, like, and with people we trust, you know. So I do think everyone's guilty of it. We can all play saints and stuff, but I think most people are probably quite guilty of doing something that, even, you know, I think about my WhatsApp groups in the area. They are maybe not purposely harmful, but I do think sometimes, you know, like the they like to talk about BMs, but I never hear about a WM. Do you know what I mean? And like, as in black male walking down the streets, I've never heard them say white man walking down the streets. Anything like that can then also be deemed, I mean, that can be deemed as inappropriate, or what are you trying to say, when they're kind of, you know, think they're using police jargon or something like that.
And so, a lot of the people who use that kind of language are also just older people, and that's how they talk. And they're not trying to be offensive, and they're not trying to sound like they're old school racists, but that's how they talk. But
as we all know, taken out of context, something can be completely misconstrued as something, you know, malicious or harmful. And even if somebody, you know, that's not what I meant when I said that. I mean, unfortunately, I often say that things come out of my mouth and I think, oh my God, that's not what I meant, when you know, that's exactly not what I meant, because either trying to be funny,
you can already see
the other side of what you were trying to say.
You could see people doing this with social media already, where they like screenshot something that you said in 2008 and they're like, oh, well, you see, this person is shit. They did that with Trevor Noah not so long ago, and they found some joke that, you know, he obviously told a funny joke, but in 2000 and whatever, it was funny. And now it doesn't sit as well with many people. And I mean, like, Trevor Noah is not the kind of person who's going around trying to be offensive. If anything, he's become more mainstream over the last while since he started doing the Daily Show. He's very careful what he puts out there, and he's become very politically correct. So this guy's not going out there trying to offend people, but it shows you, if they can do it to him, can you imagine what they'll be doing to ordinary old you and me?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, we all know people love to sort of make an example of things, and to, you know, so a sort of small situation can turn into something huge just because they want to make an example of something, or just because they want to show that this is incorrect and you've behaved badly, when actually you're probably you could be Mother Teresa for all they know. It's just you've tweeted or you've WhatsApped something incorrectly and it's been completely misconstrued.
I mean, like, in terms of managing online reputations, I mean, there are whole businesses that do this day in, day out. And obviously, there are lots of businesses that are consumed with the idea of cybersecurity. But going ahead, Chris wants to know, what are your thoughts on AI technology? And I mean, we've heard about deep fakes. We've got to talk about that too. So pick up on whichever one of those you want to go with first, because all of them are fascinating.
Well, so with AI technology, there's two, like with everything, there's two sides of the coin. You know, there's going to be great things about AI technology, as I just said, you know, things that you don't want advertised to you, or you want your home. I mean, things like turning on your Wi-Fi. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah,
things like turning on your Wi-Fi automatically when you get home, so, you know, predicting your behavior so that it makes your life easier.
Yeah.
A great thing to do. But then there's also, again, the malicious side of things where you know, things can go hugely wrong. People can use information, or robots can turn on you. You know, things, it's unlikely unless a robot is programmed to go for you, or AI is program come after you. You know, this is
like Sia's worst nightmare. It's like
we know there's some continents a little bit on the other side that might be interesting. I mean, I can't imagine it in South Africa, that, you know, we're too I don't know, low profile or not interesting enough, but it could still happen, you know. And that's the thing. You just have to guard yourself and make sure that you are. So this is the other thing I was going to talk about fake news and all that kind of stuff. You know, talking to my husband about it, he said to me, does he really want a super clean internet? You know,
no.
We've spoken about it before on Insta, but with regards to Instagram, you know, bullying on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. You know, people need to take accountability for what information they're taking in.
Yeah.
You know, sharing a fake news story, look it up. Have a read about it. The two of us have made a point of maybe reading more right-wing information as well, because these right-wingers really, really believe that they are correct. So what information are they getting?
Yeah.
And the liberals, I mean, liberals are always just tarred with the crazy brush. You know, they're so extreme and all that kind of stuff. So I think as adults, it is our responsibility. You can't just it's the same with the Facebook thing. You can't just hand over your information and not expect to be, you know, something to come out of it, or them to use your information.
Yeah, you have to take personal accountability for this
totally.
Stuff. But let's get into the technology, because deep fakes is a really interesting thing. It's like where they can create, it looks like a photograph of something that's actually happened, but it's bullshit. It's made up. It's total nonsense. Like, we all know that fake news has been a part of our lives recently, but it's always been there. I mean, you know, people have made up propaganda and lies for the longest time. You know, television, radio, all of those media were used for that before the internet came along. So that's really not new. But what is new is that you can almost go and create a situation that didn't really happen. Like, you could Photoshop something so well these days. You can create video that looks like it's real, that involves, you know, you and a celebrity that you met, say Meryl Streep or something, and you didn't ever meet her, and you can make it look like that's something that really took place.
Yeah. I also saw somebody sort of used Obama speaking, and they changed the words around, and it was hugely, you know, racist against white people and that kind of thing. So his mouth was moving and the words were made to look like it. So basically it was somebody else, you know, imitating his voice, making his mouth move the same, but it was his face. So anyone seeing that would be like, what the actual, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You would freak out, because you think, who is this guy? He's running, you know, he's running one of the biggest countries, one of the superpowers in the world, and he's anti-white, or whatever the story was. So, deep fakes are, I think it can be quite, it's concerning, obviously, because not everybody goes out and, you know, as soon as I see something that I think is fishy, or something that evokes like huge anger or some sort of response from me, I have a double eye check and see if anyone else has seen something like that.
But you know what, Claire, most people don't. They just take, I mean, people take the news, for example, and they think, well, this is pure objective journalism. And we've all discovered over the last couple of years that all of it is, there's an agenda behind a lot of what we see, hear, read. And most of the stuff that we regard as objective truth also needs investigation, because you can't trust anything. It's up to you. The responsibility falls on you. And I don't understand these people who are so obsessed with stopping fake news. Because frankly, I think that that's a fool's errand. You can't go around cleaning up the internet or the world and making sure that you stop other people from doing it. I mean, it's like this control complex. Who the hell put you in charge? You're not the censor that everybody's been waiting
and
for.
Just because you think it's right doesn't mean the rest of us do. You know, it's going back to the Instagram bullying thing. Just because, you know, you could make a comment and you could be flagged for something as bullying when actually you were maybe just making an observation, those kinds of things. So, who, you know, just because I think something's right doesn't mean the next person's going to think something's right. And that's the point of humanity, really.
And what if you're one of those people who loves conspiracy theory bullshit? That's your thing. You know, you believe in Bigfoot and you believe in the Loch Ness Monster and you believe in aliens and that's your favorite thing.
Non-right is like your Bible, but anyway.
Right. You go ahead and believe that. No one's going to be able to stop you. And if you can't find it on conventional internet sites, you'll just go and find it in other places which are much more dangerous, like the dark web, or you'll be on an intranet with a bunch of other losers who, you know, you'll be sharing this stuff on WhatsApp groups, and you can't stop people from doing that. They're going to find a way.
There's a way, regardless.
Sure, they're going to find a way. It's crazy. So let's just talk about education, because this is something I wanted to ask you last year already, but with what happened last year and everybody being locked down and schools having to educate people online and all the rest of it. Are there developments that have taken place there? Are there companies that are developing new ways of doing education? Have we discovered new platforms maybe that have made education by distance a whole lot easier?
Well, I think you'll see a lot of stuff coming up. Like for instance, the library, our South African library, they've developed an app. You can sign up with your ID number, and then you can basically get books online, which is, you know, I mean, not education, for instance, but at least, you know, you can see things are happening that people are going to start.
Yeah. Resources. That's great, because one of the reasons that so many people in the world are lagging behind in terms of education is because they can't afford the books or the equipment. And what we've learned over the last year is that actually that stuff should be, you know, kind of free, open source. Yeah, it should be available to everybody.
Totally. So I think, you know, platforms like Zoom and those kinds of things have obviously done really well, you know, especially last year. And I think you'll probably see more, you know, more schools, government sort of working towards trying to get the right platforms going. At the moment, you know, as we know, I think last year was a bit of a scramble because suddenly you have to have all this technology that would work for people to stay at home. So yeah. I think the scramble was, let's just get some stuff done. Let's just get these kids into virtual classrooms and let's just get them a bit educated. And I think now the thing, you know, people are going back to school, but like in the UK, they've got a hard lockdown again and everybody's just, you know, all the schoolwork's coming for, is at home again. And, you know, I speak to my relatives and they've got like a full day of 9 till 3 o'clock is school time, you know, and you just think, well, when are these people going to do work when they have to sit and do schoolwork with their kids and that kind of stuff. So I think we'll see a lot of platforms come up. I think a lot of problems have to be, you know, we can't, it's a reactive thing. You have to see what's wrong before you can fix it. So I think those kinds of, I think you'll see a lot of stuff come up this year with regards to education. But specifically anything that springs to mind at the moment, I don't know. You know, the only thing I really know about is things like Udemy courses and online courses. And I know that the universities in South Africa aren't really going back to class for the first term. So I think there's going to be a lot of homeschooling. And that's a great thing as well. Everybody turned their noses up at homeschooling before. And now it seems, you know, people are understanding that actually it's maybe a good thing, you know. And you get to spend time with your children, which everybody complains. I don't know. Yeah. Some people don't want to spend time with their children, but that's
what the verdict is still out.
Yeah, spend time with the kids. So, you know, there's an upside to this kind of situation.
All right. Let's talk about the, you told us last time we spoke to you that you thought folding screens were going to become a big deal. Has that happened?
It is a big deal. I don't know on the uptake of it because folding screens are very expensive. And from what I can see, Lenovo's also developed a laptop. I don't understand the point of this, but they've developed a laptop that's also a folding screen. So in your keyboard is also, you know, your keyboard in front of you will also be a screen and that folds up too, and you can open it up and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't know. Like,
is there any merit?
But I've been wrong before. You know, I get something and I think, because if you want a tablet, you'll buy a tablet. If you want a laptop, you'll buy a laptop. Now, why do you need a whole thing? You know, I get the phone thing because you've got your phone on you and you want to open it up and have a bigger screen. I get that. But the laptop, they're developing it, they've got it. So I don't know what exactly they're planning with that, to be honest.
What are some of the merits of it? Just, you know, having a bigger space or having a bigger screen?
Well, I think it's also more compact. So, you know, because everybody's sort of a digital nomad, you carry around because you can just fold it up. But I also don't see, you know, we all have a laptop. So, you know, you fold that away and you take that with you. Well, most of us, I say that. But, you know, most of us that have been working, you know, freelance and everywhere else where they should be, you know, people have laptops.
It's almost like the most obvious.
We'll have to see. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens and I'm excited to see what they bring. And, you know, again, maybe once I fiddle with it, I think, oh, this is pretty, you know, pretty nifty. And you can go for something like that.
Tapelo says Microsoft Surface Duo is a folding screen. It costs 25,000 Rand and it's getting very bad reviews so far. That's according to Tapelo.
As these things go, I might change my tune in 2 years' time. But for now, it also just looks ridiculous. You have this thing and then you have to open it up. It's just ridiculous. It looks
funny. And you still need a keyboard for it. You still need your mouse for it. You know, you still need all those accessories and it gets more and more expensive. And I just think, you know, if you've got the thing is as well, it also depends, like I said, with the schooling, what do you need? Yeah. Because eventually you might turn around and think, actually, I do need a full screen. So, you know, a full foldable laptop screen kind of thing. So you might decide I do need that and that's what you go for. Or so, you go, oh, that's exciting. It's something new and then go for it anyway.
Beth says she has a Lenovo Yoga laptop and it is great for when I want to watch a series while I sew. Smaller footprint and it stands without a separate stand. That's about the only benefit I can think of for that laptop. What do you reckon?
But it is a brilliant laptop, yeah.
Okay.
Because you can – it's great for business as well because you can fold it all the way around and you can do your presentations on one side and you can be on the other side using it, that kind of thing. Okay. So it is a great, you know, fold all the way around, which is great.
That's why it's called yoga.
No, that's a good merit. That sounds – yeah. Sorry, Beth, you didn't get me with the sewing merit, but what you just explained, Len, no, that's good.
Sila wants to know, what is your view on the KF console? What is that?
On the?
The KF console.
Oh, I hate to say it. I do not know.
I don't know what that is either. So maybe, Sila, if you can give us some detail. Maybe we're just being stupid or I read it wrong, but let me know what that is because I have no idea.
Sorry.
No worries. I mean, you know,
KFC has launched a gaming console to compete with PS5 and Xbox. What the?
KFC? A Kentucky Fried console.
So, let's just hope it keeps the fingers clean. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
That sounds horrible.
I will have a look at that, though. I'll definitely get hold of them and see what they've got to say about that. That's interesting. Thank you very much for sharing.
All right, Tapela. I didn't know about that either, so I feel like a bit of an idiot. But, you know, this is the point. We learn new things every day.
We don't know everything, do we?
Yeah, no. I definitely don't. Just to talk to us about, because you've written quite a lot and you've been doing quite a lot of videos and things on all kinds of technology, but you've also been talking about this hybrid model between the physical office and the working from home office. What kind of equipment do people need, and especially that we've learned in the last couple of months that we require in order to do effective working from home? Because, again, like you were talking about for education, sometimes it's a laptop, sometimes it's a tablet. But a lot of people have discovered that they actually have crappy Wi-Fi at home. And that's kind of essential, right?
No, completely. And you know, as we know, a lot of banks, for instance, you know, as a consumer, if you're trying to get hold of if you're phoning a bank, for instance, you know that sometimes you can't get hold of them. They have to, because people are working from home, there's no more call center operators. I mean, you drive past that Standard Bank building in Rosebank and all the lights on, but there is absolutely no one. Well, a few months ago, there was absolutely no one in that building.
Sure.
So I think a lot of companies have to relook at what they are, what their employees have to work with. You know, not everybody lives in Linden, for instance, or Northcliffe or any of the Cape Town suburbs, you know, that have Wi-Fi or have fiber running cable and that kind of thing. So, you know, a lot of people are living without electricity, for crying out loud. So how, yeah, you know, the companies have to do that, and how are their employees carrying on with a good Wi-Fi signal? And you know, there's those kinds of things. There's access to servers. You know, you have to be able, if you're working from home, you have to be able to access information that you would normally be able to do at work. So that it's all that kind of stuff needs to be. So it's not only about having a working laptop and a mouse and a good keyboard, or not even a laptop, just a screen, a keyboard and a mouse, and a phone line. Phone lines are also very difficult, you know.
I want to talk to you about the whole work-life situation as well, because we're on call 24/7 now. People are expected to be available because they're working from home. You know, some bosses and some businesses think it's okay to call you on a Saturday at like 9 o'clock at night. And for many people, that was part of the reason people liked going to the office, was they could keep work and home separate. Yeah. And now, obviously, those lines are so blurred that we have to learn to draw our own lines and to decide for ourselves what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Have you picked up any trends in that respect?
But don't you think, as South Africans, we should have put our foot down ages ago? Because employers in this country, you know, people are so desperate to hang on to their jobs that they will do a 5:30 meeting or a 7:30 meeting, which is, or a lunchtime meeting, or you know, late at night kind of thing. And people will work through the night because they're so desperate to hang on to their jobs or prove themselves to the people they work for, that they are indisposable and they work hard and that kind of thing. I just think companies have been taking advantage of people for way too long. So it maybe is now the time that people say, look, I need, the pandemic is hard enough to live through. Now we do have to get the guts and say, 5 o'clock is my finishing time, you know, or switch your phone off at that time, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I do agree with that. And I think boundaries have been crossed. And as South Africans, you know, because it's very easy to lose your job here, and we don't have a safety net like you would have in Europe, where if you lose your job, you'll have some sort of income or housing or something, you know. So I do think it's a great way to maybe put your foot down and say, this is my time now, because it's stressful enough living through the pandemic and trying to, you know, have kids running around in the background while you're doing your work. So I do think it's a good, hopefully for us, I just hope companies aren't turning around saying, no, you have to work even harder now that you're working from home, you know.
Claire, how do you manage, just looking at it from the boss's point of view instead of the employee's point of view, how do you manage people at a distance? I mean, this is also something that's difficult, because let's be honest, most of us will slack off not every day you're as productive as you could be, you know, and there are lazy people in the world. How do you get people to account for, without policing them? Like, you don't want to have, I know that there are apps and there are various ways that some managers like to make people clock in and clock out, and they have to do X number of things in a day or whatever. And it doesn't really have anything to do with their productivity. It's more about them accounting for their time.
Yeah.
That stuff can be complicated.
Completely. And I, to be honest, how do you control someone? You see, from my point of view, I think, you know, I don't believe in the 8-to-5 working times anymore, unless, of course, you're in a call center and you've got to answer those kinds of things. But if you're a business development manager or any of those things, and you're doing your meetings and you're getting your work done, I don't believe in sitting, you know, my mom, she's got this idea, because I freelance, she doesn't understand that I'm going all over the place. She doesn't understand that I'm not sitting in an office with my bum in a seat from 8 until 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
So she'll turn up and then want to have she'll turn up at the house and want to have a fat conversation. And I'm like, I have work to do, deadlines, you know, that kind of stuff. And she just, it's just not something that she understands. And I think a lot of bosses are like that. They They still have this idea that, and maybe they've learned over the last year that this is not, you know, from an 8 to 5 and a half an hour or an hour lunchtime just isn't working anymore. And your productivity must be better if you have that freedom to get your job done.
Well, I think maybe we've saved time that we didn't need to waste before, like traffic and having to go to and from meetings. And we found ways to make that time a lot more productive. So we can have that, we can keep that time for ourselves. We don't have to throw that into work.
Agreed. And I also think, you know, you're saying about the time, it's also that disposable income of not, you know, having to pay for petrol and wasting your time and all that kind of stuff. And I think, so taking it back to tech, I think a lot of people are spending money on making their home offices a bit better. You know, those standing sit-down desks like Talkcraft, I think they do a great one, or desk stand. You know, people have money to spend on something to make their home office more comfortable. And I think that is what people, that's what maybe companies should be looking at as well, that your employees are comfortable at home and can get the job done.
Yeah, a lot of people's dining rooms have become very handy as home offices lately, haven't they? I mean, that's like, I know people who you walk into what used to be a dining room and there's like papers everywhere and this is where they work from. People have suddenly found that they actually use and probably need more space at home than they did when they weren't working from home.
Totally, yeah. And a private space, maybe. Like we've mentioned with the kids, you know, you want to be able to close the door and just get on with what you need to get on with, you know, or they go into their own little schooling. I know people have turned their garages into like homeschooling rooms, which I think is quite
cool.
But I just think, I mean, it's, you know, it's turned it into a classroom, which I think it's a brilliant idea. You know, it makes it good for the kids as well. So they have like a home. You know, you have to be spoiled because not everybody has the means to have another space that they can just turn into a classroom. So, you know, you have a space for the kids to do their work. You have a space for you to do your work. And then obviously TVs and family room and bedrooms and stuff like that are not work environments, if that makes sense.
Kerry says she's twice as productive working from home. She doesn't have colleagues to chat to and interrupt her continuously. That's a good point. Yeah.
Fair.
And I also think meetings are scheduled for meetings. So people don't stand at your desk because they have one question to ask you and then that turns into a half an hour discussion. You know, you literally have a meeting at 10 o'clock and you discuss what you need to discuss, you know. And I think that's, I think it's tough. It's tough working from home. It's tough not seeing people. I love being around people. That's part of why I do what I do. So I think it's very difficult to keep going and be positive and all that kind of stuff. But I think from a work perspective, you literally can just concentrate on your job.
Well, I'm trying to find the message, but somebody here said that your lighting is on point. So give us some tips on video conferencing and lighting.
Are you looking for me, Ostia? I just did the hair
Claire, someone says
me all the time. It's you.
It's Shivesh. Shivesh says that your lighting is on point and you look great this morning. So how do we look better on video apps?
Get up really early and look good. Strangely enough, I was talking to one of the ladies at Dell about the whole thing, Sabine, and she was talking about equipment. So you want to have the right laptops and all that kind of stuff. She didn't mention lighting specific, but that's exactly what I thought of was like, maybe if you're doing a lot of video calling, you want to have a good light so people can actually see you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's also good, I think, because like we were saying, we maybe are a bit lonely. To see someone's face and that kind of thing, it just makes it a bit more personable rather than, I know a friend of mine works for a big telco. They don't do video calls at all. And I just thought And I thought that's, you know, all their meetings, cameras are off. And I just found, he obviously has suspicions that people are not really doing their jobs or not really sitting through going shopping instead of actually being in attendance on their phone and going through Woolworths or something like that. He has a suspicion.
Yeah, I know somebody who actually went on to a meeting. It was like a really important meeting. He went on and he switched his camera off because he said his internet, his bandwidth is bad or whatever. And he actually went to the shops and came back and pretended he'd been there the whole time and he wasn't even in the meeting.
No, it's, I know someone who has gone to the shops with the meeting on their phone.
Okay.
So they've done their shopping while they're meeting. They had the earphones in and they were, there's ways and means, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were saying.
Sticky ways and means.
Be at the desk, but you don't. You just have to trust that they're doing their jobs and that the outcome of what they're doing is what you want, you know.
Well, I mean, Beth says that actually that maybe this lockdown situation has shown many people that they can trust their employees to work from home and that their employees are quite responsible people a lot of the time and are able to do the work that they promised. And you can always just measure someone on what they do that you ask them to do. You don't need it. Their time is, they can decide how to apportion their time. I mean, I don't care whether Sia does 500 things or 1,000 things in a day, as long as he gets the things that he needs to do done. I don't care if he's having a tea break every 15 minutes or if he's decided to go to the shops or he's decided to have a nap. It's up to him.
Yeah. And we all know micromanaging doesn't really work because, I mean, under pressure, people don't perform as well as they would if they have. I mean, you do perform well under pressure, but what I'm saying is if somebody's looking over your shoulder all the time, do you do as well as you could if you were doing this in your own time with your own work? You know what you need to get done. So we keep talking about this. It's the responsibility of the individual.
No, look, I mean, I'm not a fan of lockdowns, but man, am I a fan of what it's done to my workday, because I have found working from home, I get more done in less time and I don't feel that pressure. And you don't sit in traffic and you don't waste hours just between meetings talking nonsense and that kind of thing. But I think it's important to have that stuff, but I wouldn't go back to the old way now. I wouldn't want to go back to sitting in the office and doing a 9-to-5.
I think people have always asked me about the freelancing side of things, like how do you cope, blah, 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 which, and again, I can be as lazy as anybody else, you know, and deadlines sometimes are not exactly met when they should be, you know, those things happen less than, you know, not as often as maybe I'd like, but the thing is, you know, the difficulty for freelancers has always been that they don't get out and see people. So it depends on what kind of personality you are, because I like to be around people. I've always loved working in an office environment and joking around with people, but I realize now that how disruptive that must have been, because you are going to talk to someone while they're in the middle of something. So you've broken their concentration. They've got to start over again. It's that kind of stuff. Whereas if you are sitting at home, you can switch stuff off and you can just go for what you need to go for and do what you need to get done, you know?
Mm. All right. Well, we're out of time, I'm afraid, but you can find out more. You can, don't apologize. This is why we had you on, just to talk to us. I know. So you can follow Claire on social media and everywhere on the internet. She's got her own YouTube channel too. It's Gadget Girl, GADGET Gal, GAL. And you can find her on all of the things.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, good.
And all of the things.
And she's always, she's also put pressure on everybody to improve their lighting on various video conferencing apps this morning.
It's actually a window, so I'm quite pleased.
Well, that's good. You should position yourself with a window opposite you. That's a good way to do these things. All right, listen, Claire, thank you so much. And thanks, everybody. We will see you on Monday at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent weekend. And you can listen to a bunch of our podcast series if you are sitting around with nothing to do this weekend and you want to listen, you want to catch up. You can go and watch all Claire's stuff online and you'll have plenty to keep you amused and entertained there. And you also get very practical advice on what's going on in technology. I mean, she's reviewing things all the time and you can go and see what she's up to.
Yeah, bro.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. CliffCentral.com.